For those of you who enjoy archery, there's a company in Indiana called Three Rivers Archery. While I normally shy away from endorsing products, I'll happily give an enthusiastic such endorsement of this company, while noting that reflects a Terry Fuller point of view, not necessarily Togiak Refuge or the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service point of view. Though I do order products from them for our archery-related environmental education programs. They cater specifically to traditional archers. Think longbows and recurves and arrows with feathers instead of vanes. They have a tremendous selection, their pricing is fair, and their shipping is both inexpensive and uber fast. How fast? I once ordered some replacement arrows for a science camp. This order was placed on a Friday, and they were here the following Monday. Their customer service is also first rate. A few weeks ago, while putting together an order, I noticed a historical DVD for sale that highlighted a man who's in the Bowhunter Hall of Fame. The parts that caught my eye in the item description included hunting walrus with the bow and arrow, and also hunting polar bears, when it was still legal to do so. He did all of his hunting in the 50s and early 60s. Wanting to see what hunting in Alaska was like, long enough ago that Super Cubs were essentially new aircraft, I added it to my cart and purchased it. I'll not go into any detail on the DVD except to say that I'm glad I bought it. The polar bear hunts, and there were several, all happened at very close range, which provided an opportunity to see, up close, our planet's largest land carnivore. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Last year, I put together an episode over bear safety. During that episode, I noted that there are three types of bears in Alaska: brown bears, black bears, and polar bears. Some folks consider a fourth type, the grizzly, but in fact, grizzlies and browns are one and the same scientifically, but for the amount of fish in their diets. I decided, as a part of that episode, that any discussion of polar bear safety wasn't necessary because, as I said at the time, you have almost as great a chance of running across a tiger or a crocodile around here, which was a joke aimed at the last two April Fool's posts we've had on our Facebook page. Even so, they are very much an iconic species for all Arctic regions and for Alaska. Due to fears of the effects of global warming and climate change, they are also something of a poster species, and thus in the news a great deal of late. So let's consider polar bears today, even if they're not likely to be added to the Togiak Refuge wildlife list anytime soon. By the way, my buddy and colleague, biologist Doug Holt, is a fan of a website called Bearmageddon News Network, which spoofs bears and bear-human interactions. Perhaps some of you are familiar with it, and also fans. It is, in my humble opinion, a humorous site, but I suppose a disclaimer to not take its information seriously is in order. I'd like to believe no one would take its information seriously, but then again we have to tell people not to eat Tide Pods, and there's no telling what someone who will eat Tide Pods will believe or do. Polar bears probably don't need a lot of description, do they? If you don't have some idea of what a polar bear looks like, it's probably high time to come out from under that rock you've been living beneath and catch up with what's going on in the world. While they are unmistakably bears and recognizable at a glance, they do vary in how they look when compared to the brown bears we're used to, and I'm not talking just about color. For starters, they have longer necks, narrower heads, and smaller ears. The fur is often white, but it's also not uncommon for it to yellow a bit with age. It's made of a water-repellent hair on the top and a dense undercoat, perfect for colder climates. I mentioned that they are our largest land carnivores. Males are larger, on average, than the females by as much as double. Adult boars average somewhere between 600 and 1,200 pounds, but they can exceed 1,700 pounds. The largest on record was shot on Kotzebue Sound in 1960. It weighed a reported 2,200 pounds, and the mounted bear, standing, is over 11 feet tall. Adult females average about 400 to 700 pounds. Polar bears are much further along towards the carnivore end of the spectrum than brown bears are. The main food of polar bears is ringed seals and bearded seals, which were the topic on this show a few weeks back. Bears capture seals by lurking near breathing holes and at the edge of leads or cracks in the ice, waiting for the seals to come up for air. They are also pretty primo hunters at stalking resting seals atop the ice. They are, as with most predators, opportunistic and will also feed on walruses, beluga whales, carrion of any type, small mammals, bird eggs, and occasionally vegetation. They have an abundance of really cool adaptations to help them to live where they do and survive in the ways they employ. Let's consider some of those adaptations. Their large size is actually one adaptation, as it helps them to lose less heat through their skin. This is an adaptation common to many species in colder habitats. Tied to that, their appendages, relatively speaking, are small, because appendages that stick out lead to heat loss. I'm talking primarily about their ears and tail. They have layers of fat, as you might expect. That fat layer can be as much as 4 inches or more thick. Their fur and skin help them to stay warm as well. That outer coat and under fur I mentioned earlier is both thicker and longer than other bears. Under both, the skin is black, which picks up and retains heat from the skin. While we see the fur as white, it's actually translucent and hollow. This helps in a couple of ways. It helps them to be more buoyant while swimming. More on that in a moment. It also keeps their fur from matting down when they're wet. They're able to shake off and dry faster. And that white look is obviously a terrific camouflage for the way they hunt and where they live. They are very much lean, mean hunting machines. They have a tremendous sense of smell in terms of distance from potential food sources, but also for ferreting out potential meals under compacted snow. Their dental structure is all about meat and is less suited to dining on vegetation than other types of bears. Their claws are sharp and curved, but shorter than a brown bear's, to better hold on to prey. Their smaller heads and longer necks do a couple of things. First, it makes them more streamlined for swimming, which they do a lot. It also allows them to get their heads down into holes in small places as they try to find food beneath the surface of the ice. They are patient and effective stalkers, making strategic approaches that keep the wind in their favor and make use of topography to conceal their approach. They're also adept at waiting out breathing holes or finding birthing lairs during the spring pupping season for seals. In the harsh Arctic environment, it's important to have different food gathering tactics, and they certainly do. While known as our largest land carnivore, it's worth pointing out that, for the sake of management, they are considered marine mammals. This reflects where they live, in the Arctic and on the ice and around the ocean. A large portion of their lives is spent on pack ice and around, on, or in the water. It's thought that some bears almost never set foot on land. As I mentioned, they are capable swimmers and can literally spend days in the water, swimming as much as 100 miles at a time. They can swim at speeds of 6 miles per hour, and those things that I mentioned earlier, buoyant fur, streamlined body shape, layers of fat and strong muscles, all help them to be at home in the water. Also, they have enormous paws for their size, which make for super paddles while also aiding in walking on the snow. Polar bears are found throughout Arctic areas all around the globe, to include Alaska, Canada, Greenland, Norway, and Russia. Biological studies have determined that there are 19 separate populations of polar bears worldwide, and that two of these populations are in Alaska, the Southern Beaufort Sea population and the Chukchi Sea population. In terms of numbers, the southern Beaufort population is thought to have around 900 animals, while there are no reliable estimates for the other one. The worldwide population is a bit all over the place, depending on which website you look on, but somewhere between 22,000 and 30,000 animals is probably in the ballpark of most. Numbers for Russia are said to be sketchy, and theirs is certainly a piece of the pie, adding to the uncertainty of how many are actually out there. Because they rely so heavily on sea ice, as well as the animals that top their menu, there is concern that as sea ice lessens, it will have a negative effect on polar bear numbers. But that's maybe a topic for another show, as we're at the time wall for today's episode. If this is a topic of interest, I'd certainly encourage you to get online and look things up for yourself. Actually, I think it's a dandy idea to pursue the strengthening of one's own knowledge on just about any topic of interest. As I said at the outset, we're not likely to see polar bears around the refuge anytime soon. That doesn't mean we shouldn't know a bit about these magnificent predators, with which we do share Alaska as home. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.